this time.
Is this for real?
Yeah.
Is this it?
Except for I don't have, I wasn't ready. I didn't.
And welcome to Streaming Comics Podcast.
And I know you don't have to do it.
I can Joel. Do it.
Author Cox.
Author? And this is my co-host, Joel.
Joe.
Oh, we'll do it again. Hold on.
All right. Can I do it? So it doesn't suck?
And welcome to Streaming Comics Podcast. I'm your host, Joel, author Cox. This is my co-host, Joe, producer Stout.
Nope, I'm not producing shit.
Oh, you are?
Mm-mm.
I have an idea.
No, God, no.
Hey, Joel, what are we talking about today? Okay, Joe, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, you're just going to do
I've got a book idea.
Joel's multiple personalities have come out.
Fantastic. I am going to write a book.
You're going to write a book?
Uh-huh.
I have nothing but faith in you.
So you know how you have all these self-help books?
Uh-huh.
All these motivational guides.
Oh, you're going to write a motivational book?
No.
Okay, all right. That didn't sound right. It didn't feel right.
I'm going to write a demotivational book. Now, hear me out.
How to watch Netflix for 17 hours straight.
Now, hear me out. You get all this advice about a little bit extra at work, and then you go for a promotion. They'll see all the extra work you did, and they'll give you the promotion. That never happens.
Yeah, don't trust for the job you want. Trust for the job you have.
They say, oh, climb the corporate ladder so you can make a career, make more money. Yeah, no, don't do that either.
Fly under the radar.
Exactly.
Where you belong.
Fly under the radar. Find a job that you're good at. One that you can do in your sleep, so if you have a bad day, you can actually still function. Nobody dies, nobody gets killed, and you still get paid.
Follow us next week to hear more about Joel's book, How to Sign Up for Welfare.
No, you find a job where you actually work. But I'm saying, you actually do a job where, like, you basically know how to do it.
Okay.
There's a little bit of challenge there, but not enough that you're, like, failing all the time. Because here's the problem. You get promoted to failure when you're trying to climb the corporate ladder all the time. If you're really lucky, some companies have a cap on your raise. So let's say you start out as the janitor, working at Company A. Been there for, like, 5 years. You get yourself a job as, say, a desk clerk. Well, you're only allowed to make 10% more than what you made before. Then you went from desk clerk to project manager. But you're only allowed to make 10% of what you made before that. So now your project maker making like 10 bucks an hour. We should be making like 20 or 30 bucks an hour.
I hear what you're saying, and somehow it still sounds like a terrible idea.
It's a beautiful idea.
It doesn't sound like anybody should take your advice.
Oh, you want to bet? You want to bet? I heard a story about a coworker.
Okay.
Don't like this guy. Like, he's literally a coworker. Like, I
right.
don't like him.
Not a friend.
Not a friend. Apparently, he busts his ass 2 years doing the work of the job he wanted to get. And when they actually hired for that position, they hired somebody else with more experience.
It confuses me sometimes how companies operate and how they the mentality behind how they choose who does and does not do what. And we were just talking to are we allowed to discuss with our friend was we had before we have a friend who was let go right before getting some pension or something. Well, and that stuff like that happens a lot. Like that's not I'm not calling anybody out or pointing any finger, but there's a lot of places that do that where the companies restructure or decide to reaccommodate for the workforce. And a lot of times they take out people who have already have several years of experience and are closer to say like retirement or pensions
I have other coworkers who are upset because their job titles haven't changed in a while and they want to make more money. I'm like, just do something outside of work if you want to make more money. Like, your title doesn't really mean anything. I know too many people who live to work instead of working to live.
Right. No, and I agree with that very specific sentence you just said. The rest of it is I'm a little sketchy on.
What I'm trying to say is, I've been at my job. It'll be 4 years on the 6th of November, on the 9th of November, rather. And guess what? I could be a senior database engineer, but I'm not. I'm just a database engineer.
I think there's a very particular line that you have to walk as a person to where, one, you there's two sides of it. You have to work for the job, not for the paycheck, and I think that those people are the ones that usually excel. I don't believe that companies are all out to get you. I do think that people do get
you're
raises.
You're just a cog in the machine.
No, I don't believe that whole. You know, we're not.
You've never worked
for a brick in the wall.
You've never worked for corporate America.
I've worked for some, well, I haven't worked any a lot of places.
You have for not worked long. In a big box corporate America job.
No, I have not. But
then you have no play here.
Well,
if I need about the food industry, I can talk to you. And I'm not saying that concept.
I know what you're saying. I agree, because like I purposely have always
like worked you've never dealt with office politics.
Right, I haven't been anywhere that's been overwhelming or union, or like I've never had like major franchise companies.
I've been in a position where my work where 90% of the companies was on union, and I was non-union, and I got screwed. And I got fired.
Well, I do believe in you.
I'm sorry. I got laid off.
I'm sorry.
They did not renew my contract for the following year.
Right, right. They were restructuring the amount of Joels they have working for them.
Uh-huh. So look, have you ever had to deal with office politics?
Not in a conventional sense, no.
Work-related politics. Like perception is more important than actual reality.
Well, yes, I have somewhat with where I work now. There has been some degree of that.
So, do you remember how I started fantasy football like 3 years back?
Yes. Okay.
So, as I put it, I started doing fantasy football for the social points that would get me, because I was actually part of the team and playing fantasy football, and like there's rivalries every week. Someone's like, "Oh, we're playing Joel." Da da da.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't really care about fantasy football. It was kind of cool, like, having interactions with people in my team that I don't normally have, because now I got this fake rivalry for that week.
Right, right. And I think, I mean, that's more camaraderie amongst...
Yeah, but if you don't... But if you're that guy that never goes to a happy hour, or never does anything camaraderie, you're the asshole.
No, I don't know. I don't think. I mean, maybe it's different in certain environments. I've always worked in places where, I have worked in places where it was, especially working in a restaurant. It's extremely common for everyone to go, "Hey, we're going out on Friday, or we're going to go out tonight and have some drinks."
And how'd you put the guy who never went out on Friday?
There was never an issue, because there was always somebody who wasn't going out, and there were always people who were like, they never went.
That's what I'm saying. The people who never went, they never got ridiculed.
No. Not well, it's also a very different environment, though. Like I said, it's not like you weren't expected to. It was just always invitation. Because I, for a long time, was the guy who didn't go out. Originally, I was the guy who was always like, "Hey, let's all go out." But then as life kind of came at me, and responsibilities and family and so on and such forth kind of set into play. Because I was fortunate enough for a long time where... I didn't have to be home all the time, because I was the working factor at home. I was the one with the job and carrying and maintaining. When she was pregnant, and right after she had the kids, any one of them, there's been complications with almost every pregnancy. So there was a chunk of time where, even though she's never had a job where she got maternity leave, there were times where, she couldn't work, and I was the breadwinning factor at home. So since I didn't have to be home, I wasn't obligated, I wasn't restricted to that I could go out with friends. And at a certain point, that changed. And throughout the course of life, that's, you know, waxed and waned. But like, I've never really, I don't think that it's ever been an issue where like there was one person that didn't go out. Like Tony was always everybody's buddy, but he didn't go out to drink with us too often. And when he did go out to drink, it was always in very particular environments where it was him and his wife or his girlfriend at the time, fiance, whatever she was. And it was always like more of like a mature, relaxed, sit, drink, and enjoy ourselves, as opposed to everybody kind of going out and just having a fun night and singing karaoke and playing games and, you know, doing stupid shit. He didn't show up to any house parties or things like that whenever those did happen. But, like, nobody ever begrudged him that. Like, it wasn't like you should be that person. It was just always, you know. So I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I also haven't worked in an office-type setting for, you know, big company. But I would think, if anything, that would make it easier. I worked for the cable company for a period of time, but we really didn't have that particular atmosphere. Like, it wasn't like, "Hey, we're all going out for drinks after work." Like, it just wasn't that mood. So I don't know, it's different, I'm sure.
So do you know the difference in work to live and live to work?
Yes. I mean, I assume I do. Is there more that you want to add to
no,
that?
No, I want to hear if you on the same page.
I think that's pretty much it. Like, it's that's a pretty cut and dry statement. You know, like some people are become obsessed and enthralled with they define themselves by their job, which there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people are.
It's not like, my cup of tea.
Right, it's because of the job that you maybe particularly work. If you
but it's never own, it's never my cup of tea.
Okay, well, let's say you owned your own business. Let's say that you were a landscaper or a contractor or something. Then, like, or let's say you're a mechanic or whatever. It's if you're following your passion, then you're the type of person who is then you define yourself by your job. These people, when you see somebody out and about, and they have on their like on the side of their truck, it says, you know, Joe's Landscaping, and then they wear their hats and their shirts, and they're all advertising themselves and everything. That's funny. We'll talk about that in a second. Those are people that live to work. Those are people that love and enjoy their jobs. You have to respect that, though. There's a certain mentality.
I'm talking about the non-self-employed. I'm talking about people for a corporation or company. Not okay, working for themselves, but like working in like an office environment.
I keep smacking it. When I worked at the restaurant.
Because that's a different respect, because they actually do what they like. And right. They actually have complete control. Well, and they're not going to get fired because they run the business.
When I was serving tables. And I worked with a lot of people that we were like, we enjoyed our job. We loved, and we used to define ourselves to some degree by our jobs. Like, it wasn't like, fuck that place, work is over. We didn't work like a 9-to-5.
I'm not saying that either.
But, I'm saying that we actually, we had no problem wearing our work shirts outside of work. We had no problem talking about it. If we had a get together, if we were like, hey, let's all go out, we met at work. It's a different environment too, because like most jobs, I'm sure at your job they don't serve alcohol, so you're not getting together there before you guys go out for a night out on the town. Whereas when you work in a restaurant, it's a little bit of a different situation. You have that, whether I was waiting tables or for the little bit that I bartended or whatever as management, I always associated myself with that. If I ran into someone and if I introduced myself to someone, if I go, hey, I know you from somewhere. I work at, you know, I'll just say it. I don't give a shit. I worked at Quaker Steak and Lube, the wing joint. And I would say that, oh, that's, and I throw that up because that's how it is. Now, if I run into someone and I go, hey, do I know you? I don't tell them where I work now. Like, I don't brag about my workplace. I don't live for my job. I go to my job so that I can afford to do the shit that I want to do on the weekends and go out and have fun. So,
see, I feel like that's still different because, like, you were someplace you enjoyed. But you didn't. You weren't there trying to. I want to own Quaker Steak in 5 years.
In some degree, I did want to work up the ladder. I realized once I started getting up the ladder.
But would you do anything for it?
I mean, I hustled my ass off for it. Well, I wanted to get into bartending, and that was one of those things that I worked my ass off to get into bartending. And I mean, I only really graced that. I wasn't really officially even a bartender. But it's different. There's not it's not the same corporate ladder. And the problem with in a restaurant is you make one paycheck as a server, then you move up in the management, and you make a smaller paycheck. Like you literally make less money the higher up you go. Bartending is the exception. You make more money as a bartender, but and I kind of got hosed over on a little bit of that too, unfairly. But
because you weren't a girl.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. But I miss it. I love that job, and it's something I would want to get back into. But I wasn't fighting necessarily to move the ladder, although I did want to change position.
You're making a third category, and you're making this complicated.
Okay, so tell me what it is you're saying. Because I'm not following.
What I'm saying is, like, so, for example, I've got a coworker. She is a senior, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And she keeps talking about, by my age, I should be a director of blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And it really bothers her that she sees people her age who are directors, or people younger than her with title senior. It's like, they didn't deserve that. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, it's a crap shot. Like, some people have baby's day out and they get what they want. Or things just work out for them?
No, yeah. No, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, some people just live the life of Riley, and that's,
I don't know that reference.
It basically just means that you get good. Good rains upon you.
Wow.
But you fall in shit and come out smelling
good. The long and short of it is, okay, by by age 25, I should be this. By age 30, I should be this. Like, they have everything set out, and they're always trying to climb that ladder. But, like, there's sometimes you got to realize there's some things you shouldn't be doing. And a lot of companies, they talk about being promoted to failure. But there's some people who shouldn't be managers. They think they should be managers.
Oh, right.
But they shouldn't be a manager.
Oh, absolutely. No, there's delusions of grandeur that people have where like they have this sense of entitlement where they feel
some of it's entitlement. Entitlement is like, I want the title. I want to be lead lawyer. I want to be a partner.
Okay, so I worked for, I don't want to say the name because I'm about to badmouth them.
Billy's Emporium of Rubber Mallets.
A delivery service that brings packages to your home.
It was called Smokey Express.
I would...
He put a weed on bicycles.
Yeah, that would have been a cooler job, although would take... It wasn't the post office.
It was packages.
It was a packaging service that would deliver...
illicit substances.
Right. No, it was very legal.
No,
very,
I'm making it up so to cover your ass.
Just, you don't have to cover my ass. I'm saying...
I'm covering your ass. Shut up.
Let's just say they unitedly joined together in a parcel service to bring things to your home. And
you can't see it in the weeds of the mail.
You can if you don't get caught. Regardless. So the person that was my immediate... to be my immediate supervisor, or I don't know if he's my immediate supervisor. He was actually my manager. He was like the step up of my step up kind of thing. It's a union job. So what happened was this guy put in, and because he had been there longer than whoever else may have put in, he got a position where he became, and I'm sure a lot of it was just for him to make a paycheck. Because he clearly is not a people person. He was not good with people. He was not structured or mentally capable of the job that he was in. But he was given this job in spite of that because of the time that he had been there and seniority and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The bullshit that comes along with it. Instead of them looking at the pool of opportunity they had and saying, okay, these people are our best options, they were more like hands tied and said, okay, this guy put in, he has seniority, so now he gets to be the boss. And he was a prick. He was a horrible person. He was a very shitty, negative, derogatory person. I only worked for the company for a very short period of time. It went incredibly sideways very quickly. It was supposed to be a job that was going to be very beneficial and very good for me. And because of this one individual who was falsely, not falsely promoted, he was unrighteously promoted. But here's the thing. It wasn't just me. I was warned about this guy. I was told by multiple people. His name was Tom. I'm not going to give his last name, but his name was Tom.
Smeldersnitch.
Yeah, Tom's his real name, and so Smeldersnitch. Tom. But
Tom Smeldersnitch.
There's enough Toms that nobody gives a shit.
Smeldersnitch.
That's a stupid name.
Stupid name for
whatever. Person. I don't give a fuck. Tom Smeldersnitch. Smeldersnitch. Yeah. Okay. So this dude was promoted into the wrong spot. He was an absolute just cunt to me. What a shitty, miserable individual person, and he should not have been put into that place. He chased away multiple employees. He had more than one person who had quit on him, and to a degree, they couldn't do shit about it because he was still within the definition of his job, but he didn't care because in his mind, the people that stuck around were the people that he could treat like shit. Instead of keeping good employees and promoting good employees and hiring good employees, he kept the ones that were willing to take the abuse. And right, and that's a
wrong way. I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah, you deal with both sides of that. The other side of that whole mentality is that sometimes you take something like say civil service, the people that work for communities and such, somewhat there are appointed stations and there are higher, and they it's not necessarily you've been there longest that you get in, but there's somewhat of a de facto where there are certain things that stipulate how things go and who is promoted and who's capable of so on and such forth. There are certain terms and conditions that allow someone to apply for all of that. So what happens is when you have, like, let's say somebody's elected to, I'm not going to give an exact example, but let's say somebody's hired to a higher point where they get to pick and choose who works underneath them. They have a pool of five people, and say one of them is female and four are guys. So they perceive this job as something that's a male centric job. Whether it's in some correctional term or some facility of that or whatever. Like, if they perceive that, the female in the scenario is not going to be offered that opportunity like the rest should. But because of the way certain unions and such work, they are entitled to that. And because of the accountability, it's more likely that this person who maybe is more capable of the job but might have been overlooked because of their gender or their religion or their whatever will be included because of that. So it does. It includes people sometimes whenever they shouldn't be, like, the example where I went to go work for this service that delivered packages, where the wrong person got promoted. But in other situations and scenarios, whether you're working for the Commonwealth or the state or whatever, people who could be overlooked because they're not perceived as capable, whether it's their age or their gender or whatever, now are given that opportunity to excel where they wouldn't have been originally. I feel like I changed your subject there. I feel like I took what you were saying.
Same, basically talking the same kind of stuff that's been bothering me. Right. Because my one coworker, do I tell the pup in the basket story?
Pup in the
basket? The puppy.
A puppy in a basket?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that, so.
So about a year ago, year and a half ago, a couple of coworkers kept asking me these questions about some process we do. I know my job. I know my job well. Stuff outside of our department, I don't know. So, who does this? Who does that? I'm like, whoever sends me the email. Well, who's that? Who's this? Who's that? Who's in charge of this outside of that? I'm like, I don't know. So they keep asking me a question. I'm like, look, pretend I'm a puppy in a basket. And my company is a river. I'm floating in the river in my basket, minding my own business, trying not to drown. And you assholes keep popping out of the river, trying to drag me the fucking river. So after a while, when I start getting all these questions from these people, I'll just go, woof, woof. And then that's their key to just quit asking me questions I don't have answers.
Right. No, and I think that in any business, here's the thing, it's such a complicated mentality. To run a overall business, nobody wants to think of themselves as a cog in the machine or a brick in the wall.
But that's what you are.
Okay, but you almost, like, even when you say that, you say it like it's almost a negative thing.
But here's the thing. My book is basically going to be a joke.
Just to be... So there's nothing wrong with doing your job and focusing on your job and being functional at your job. You can't be the entire machine. You have to play your part.
Exactly.
And that's where people run into issues, I think, a lot of times, is where, like, they look at it and they go, people forget their placement. And I know I sound like some pinko communist whenever I say this. That's not where I'm coming from. That's not what I mean.
Well, the reason I'm saying this is because I joke with my one coworker, because he started about a year and a quarter ago, and I'm his voice of reason. So when our department got separated from our team got separated from our department, and now we're another team. We basically went from rock stars, the redhead stepchild, back to rock stars. And
the redheaded stepchild.
So the one day, our boss made a comment.
Fucking redheads.
My boss made the comment, we're going to stop doing this one process. He's like, oh my God, I'm losing my job. Oh my God. Da-da-da-da. I'm like, calm your tits. Right. That doesn't mean you're losing your job. That means you can focus on something else. So, like, a week later, he had a one-on-one with her, and she explained, he didn't say anything, but she explained what was going on and how they need him for this and that. He goes, you're right. Why don't I ever listen to you? I'm like, because you're a fucking idiot. That's why you don't listen to me.
No. And that's along the same lines of people get so set in their the way they perceive their position where it's everybody wants to have the best of both worlds. They're like, this is specifically what I do. This is how I want to do it. And I don't ever want the world to change. I only want to do what I do. But then they also, a lot of times, not everybody, but and I'm not even saying in like that nosy Nancy sort of way, or like that. I'm saying, like, just in general, it's human nature to look at this overall encompassing thing and say, okay, this is what I do, but so and such does this, and if they did this differently, then blah 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 blah. Where people lose sight of you yourself have to maintain your position. There's somebody in place, and they should be they should be doing their job, where maintaining that you do this, the other person does this, the other person does this, kind of thing. Okay, so like, for example, a paramedic isn't going to show up to a house that's on fire and try to put out the fire. Mm-hmm. That's not their job. They're there to assist the people that maybe have smoke inhalation, or the people that have been burnt, or the whatever. You do your medical side of the job. Let the firefighters put out the fire. Let the police arrest the arsonist. Let the judge, trial, and jurors, and lawyers, and do everybody does their job in like that sense. But like what. And when you look at it like that, you go, of course that makes sense. A firefighter should be putting out the fires, and the EMT should be taking care of the people. Nobody questions that. But when you look at a job, you look at a work environment, and let's say, you know, your job is programming, but there's another job that's in charge of marketing and sales. And I know I even feel this with my job, where I was in sales. I moved to delivery. There is a management. There is a warehouse staff. You need everybody to do their job, and people sometimes get focused on other people's jobs as opposed to their own, and that's where the breakdown falls in, where you do your job right, and yes, you need other people to do their jobs for you to function properly, but I think the problem is where when somebody says, oh, delivery should have done this way, a lot of times the reason they didn't do it was because they were too focused on the warehouse didn't do this, so now I'm going to return something this way, and it's not gonna, and then that's gonna affect management, and that's gonna affect the unloaders, and that's gonna affect blah 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 blah, and it like this does this domino effect of everybody not doing their job. Whenever the mentality is, why should I do my job if they're not doing their job? Well, because other people are dependent on you, and if we all do what we're supposed to do, then everyone else, that's how a well-oiled machine works.
Yeah, I think the other problem is I've worked in places where the employee handbook was only used to fire you. And basically,
I agree with that. I know I'm going against the grain here, but I feel that.
But I've been in places where it's like, you have to do this, you have to do that, and people don't do it. But if you're one of the cool kids, they don't care what you do.
Right.
But if you're being a skew, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, we can bust for all these four things.
So, and I've been on both sides of this, where I've been reprimanded for doing my job. I've been kind of put on the spot with, okay, so for example, when I was on delivery, whenever I would show up to, let's say I show up to an apartment building, and there's a set amount of time to deliver certain pieces of furniture. So I'm bringing in a sofa, I'm entitled, let's say, call it 5 minutes. But if I show up to an apartment building, I obviously can't do it in 5 minutes. By the time I hit the buzzer, have the person come down the stairs, get on the elevator, ride down through, let me in, bring me upstairs, show me where it goes, I gotta go back on, I gotta get on the elevator, I gotta come back down, I gotta get the piece of furniture, I gotta take it inside, then I gotta, way more than 5 minutes passes. So as a salesperson, when they sell something that goes to an apartment, they have to give me more time. I used to follow through and send emails. Hey, you didn't set me up to do my job properly. No reprimand. There's just, I'm not somebody that, I don't have the entitlement or the empowerment to punish or to put you in your place. All I said was, this is the way that I need you to in fact do your job so that I can do my job, kind of thing. I kind of lost track of where I was going with this, honestly.
Employee handbook used to fire.
Okay, all right. So I got reprimanded. Thank you for putting me back on track there. I got reprimanded because something through the handbook says that I have to go through management. I have to go through my managers, who I then have to go through another set of managers, who then have to go to the person. I have to play this telephone game, basically. The problem is, my managers don't have time to handle the problems that I do need them to handle for me to do my job, let alone handle communicating to another set of managers that also have too much to do to communicate to a salesperson, blah, 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 blah. So I got reprimanded for doing my job and for that, because this is the way things are and this is how we have to do it, and this in blah, and I've also been hit for not hitting numbers and stuff like that because of things that were out of my control. Mm-hmm. Now, when I worked in the restaurant, though, there were times where they'd go, hey, you, so if you have a,
you didn't marry the ketchup bottles.
Well, okay, so let me use a better example. Is if a table walks out on paying their bill, you're supposed to be written up for that. You go into a restaurant, you don't pay your bill, you walk out the door, your server gets written up, and some places will ask the server to pay for the food. So I've had where a table skated on me. They went out, they didn't pay their bill. I got hit on it. Take a write-up. After three write-ups, you get fired. Now, I've had it happen where I worked for the place for a very long time. I had it happen where I've had three write-ups in too short of a period of time. Should have been let go. They didn't let me go because they go, you're a good employee. We're not going to let you go over this stupid rule.
Yeah.
What they do is, if they have an employee who's not a good employee, we've had people who came in who
here's the problem. It's not always because you're not a good employee. Sometimes it's just because you're not with the cool kids. That's the issue I have.
Okay, well, and
You're
saying like in a clique type of way, like, yeah, you're just not one of the crew.
Either you're not one of the crew, you're not one of the liked. Like, I know people, and I've been the person who wasn't one of the cool kids that did my job well, but they didn't want me there, and I found out later on it was a whole plan to get me out.
So I've never personally experienced that, not on any sense of it, I'm very personable, and yeah, I'm not usually.
Well, it's funny because
not to say that I'm one of the cool kids.
The job this happened at, I found out like when I went to another part of the business. I was working there doing my job, and I thought I had really good numbers. They got 500 tasks we had to get done. Mm-hmm. I got done 250. They then said, "Here's five tasks you did a horrible job at," and they weren't even horrible jobs. They're just miscommunications.
Right.
But they made it sound like I was so horrible doing my job.
I vaguely remember you telling me that. I think I know what story you're talking about.
So then I found out months down the line, they told me that I pissed off one of the employees, but never told me who it was so I could apologize. But I found out they never pissed off at me.
Okay, and I understand that does happen in work environments. I've never seen that happen, mm-hmm, but I can absolutely get it. I think a part of it was I was always very, especially when I worked in the restaurants where I've seen or heard things like that happen, but I've always been blessed with the proper management staff.
Exactly.
Where, like, that's everybody likes Becky. Becky's so wonderful. She's been there forever, and she's everybody's friend. So then Dane comes in, and he's new, but he's kind of a dick to Becky. Mm. So now people don't like Dane because they like Becky, kind of thing. I've always been fortunate enough to work with a crowd that was tough but fair, where they would say, hey, Becky, suck it up. You need to get over your shit. Dane, don't be a bitch to her.
Exactly.
We like her. We're not getting rid of her. You need to make this adjustment.
Exactly.
She needs to make this adjustment. In a way, I'm super thankful. I've had managers, and one in particular, I'm just going to go ahead and credit this lady that I worked for, Chris Law. I love, and I don't usually say people's names whenever, you know, I'm always very not secretive about it, but I try to not invade anybody's personal or put anybody's name out there. But she was one of the greatest people I've ever worked for, and she loved me to death. She always had my back. She was always there. But her and I didn't always see eye to eye. If I did something wrong, she was the first one to tell me I was doing something wrong. She was the first one to go, hey, you're being an asshole. That's not how you do it. And she flat out would say those things to me. And I am grateful that I had her, because I've also had other managers that would go, oh, well, you know, you're okay, but it's not you. You're fine. Don't fucking patronize me like that. I hate that. It's not good in a business environment. When somebody does wrong, you tell them they did wrong. You don't have to be an asshole to them. And she was amazing at this. She was fully capable of going, hey, you fucked up. You did it wrong. You can't do this. You're screwing things up. It's bad for business. It's bad for me. It's bad for blah, 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 blah. And when she's all done talking, you go, thanks, Chris. You want to grab a beer? Like, that's the way that you were with her. She was wonderful for it. Tough but fair. I love her to death. I'd work for her again any day of the week.
Exactly. Like, my current boss is amazing. She doesn't micromanage. She tells you the truth.
Yeah.
She'll just cut the shit. And like a lot of, I've worked with a lot of people who don't do that. Like my own, the one job.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm well aware.
The audience has no idea what's going on.
I'm always aware. But the one job I had, another job I had that I got laid off from, I found out they hired somebody new who was another manager. And he said, oh, this guy's getting paid too much for what he does. We should get rid of him. So I got laid off. And then I find out a year later, the dude realizes he made a fucking mistake. And he should laid me off because he didn't understand what I did.
Well, I think where that problem comes into play the most is when you work for a company that brings management in from an outside source.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one thing that I hated about when I worked in sales of furniture. I was not a wonderful salesperson. I was not aggressive. I wasn't pushy. Salespeople have this stigma of being like these cutthroat, sneaky, cheaty bastards that are going to take all your money. There's this like used car salesman mentality of they're all just out to get you. I worked with the most wholesome, wonderful bunch of people that absolutely had customers' best interests in heart. Nobody was trying to cheat anybody out of, very few. I worked with one or two guys that were out of the 20 some people that I worked with. Two people that I would say were kind of douchebags and were out to get your money more than they were to take care of you as a customer. One of them did not last. He just wasn't capable of maintaining the job because of that. So they weaned their way out. But I was not top salesperson, but I was good and I was great with customers. I was wonderful with customers. Even if I didn't sell them, they fucking loved me. We got a new manager in. And these people come in, they go, now this manager doesn't know me at all. These folks come in, very nice couple, come in, I say hi, they go, where's the bathroom? Point to the bathroom. They hustle back to the bathroom, and they pretty much walk back up to the front, and they're doing this like mosey around thing where they're really not looking at anything, but they're like pretending to look, or they're like, fuck it, we're already in here. So I say, I think these people just came in to use the restroom. Now, I said that not in a shitty way, not in a judge me or evaluate me sort of way, but I said it in front of my new boss, my new manager, who didn't know me, didn't know that I'm the type of person who spent way too long. If anything, I overboard spent time with customers. I always expected people to spend. I always gave people the benefit of the doubt, and he didn't know that about me. So he perceived this as me going, I don't want to deal with people because they're just here to... Meantime, I sold these folks a whole house full of shit. Like, I filled their entire house full of furniture. I did an amazing job and a wonderful sale with these folks. But I happened to say it in front of this new manager who did not know me. And then within, I think, 2 or 3 weeks after that, we had employee evaluations. And it came up in my evaluation that I'm too quick to prejudge people. And I'm like, that I didn't want to spend time with my customers and that I prejudged them. And I went through to the sales floor and I was like, that's what they said about me. And they're like, is he fucking high?
Uh-huh.
You, if anything, need to judge your customers more. You need to be better at weaning out the people that are just there to fucking waste your time. And like, it was like this whole, like exactly the opposite of who I am because they had a manager come in, they promoted somebody into a management position who didn't know the business. And I think that's kind of along the lines of what you're saying.
I had
people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I worked in the school district. They laid me off for all this bullshit. So I still run into kids today, like 5 years plus. And I have kids going, weren't you working at the high school or the middle school? I'm like, yeah. They let go. Let me go. Well, why? Well, they said I was incompetent and this and that. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You were way better than the other one that was there.
Right. And that's that comes into people being in the wrong position.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really great book that if anybody who works in any sort of management status should probably take a moment and read this book. It's called Good to Great, and there's a lot of fault in this book, and it actually references companies that went belly up as like guidelines and role models of how to structure and how to. So in that sense, it's not a. It doesn't sound like a very competent book, but the message that it sends is actually very intelligent. It uses the wrong references, really, if you read into it that much. But the book is called Good to Great. I can't for the life of me remember who wrote it. Don't really give a shit. But it says that if you, any environment you work in, accepting that things are okay is not okay. You have to take, to have a successful business, to run a successful company, you can't say things are going good. If things are going good, they're not going great. Things have to be going great. And when things are going great, there's always room for improvement. And it's not a you're never going to be good enough mentality. It's a work to be better mentality. And it's a great book as far as the message that it sends. It's a little bit of a tough read just because it gets very didactic and very, this is how you do blah, 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 blah. But it's worth the read. And if anybody who's in management, it's one of the books that I usually strongly recommend people pick up and get through. But it covers a lot of that mentality of, you can't always control that. You can't control who your bosses are. You can only, if you are the boss, you have some say so as to how you conduct yourself. And I think that's it's an important thing for a company to run well. I don't believe in companies that bring in outside managers. All these really big, huge companies, when you look at like IBM and Apple and GM or whatever, when they bring in a CEO, it's always like the new CEO of GM was the former CEO of Macintosh or whatever the fuck. I don't know, I'm making shit up right now. I don't know if that's true, but I'm saying that that companies that promote from within typically are more successful, especially on a more not grandioso scale where you're talking about, you know, you're not talking about Verizon or, you know, like these huge companies that are blockbuster companies kind of thing. So that's all I got. Is it that time? You have more you like to add? Nope, that's everything. That was a good episode. I feel good about that. Like, it wasn't our funny episode, but it was we were very insightful. And if you enjoyed that episode, be sure to join us here next week on Stream of Consciousness Podcast.
We'll eat a T-Rex.
We're going to eat a T-Rex, is what I just heard Joel say. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our friend Christian. We didn't bring us up again. Our friend Christian Kale and his, what's the name of his?
Enterprise Spirits.
Enterprise Spirits. So check him out, too. He's got, there's some dude on a bike. What the fuck? Put a shirt on, kid. It's -2 degrees.